Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 5 in our teaching on the Book of Colossians titled, Giving Glory. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what I am here sharing with you this morning is you have yet to experience the glory or the fullness of the glory that the Christ that's already in you. And no one can hold it back but you. Satan has been defeated as far as Christ in you is concerned. Had he not been, Christ wouldn't be in you. The very fact that he is in you is proof that he has already been defeated. So what is the quest to the church today? The quest to the church today is to discover and to allow ourselves to be vessels that this glory of God might come to the earth at the end of these days of the fullness of the Gentiles. We are preparing the way of the King. Did you catch it right there? We are preparing the way of the King. There is a glory poured out right before he comes. And he pours it out through his people. So the Apostle Paul says, hey, this is a mystery and it's a secret. It's called Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then he goes over into chapter 3 and he speaks about a false mysticism in chapter 3. How that there'll be false teachings come. There'll be false glory try to come. And he says to beware of the false mysticism and all of that sort of stuff. And he gets into chapter 3 and he says, if you then, verse 1, be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. So if a person is in touch with this mystery or secret that is Christ that is in you, how are you going to think? You're going to think on those things that are above, right? You're going to set your affections on things that are above. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ where? It's hid with Christ in God. I was speaking with a person this week and they said, well, Alan, give me a better understanding of glory. What is it, if this glory is in us or the glory of God, and this was the analogy that came to me. If you have a child, and this child comes up to you and says, Dad or Mom, I believe in you. I have faith in you. I just have faith in you. I believe in you. Or let's say that you're working with somebody or whatever, and they just come up to you and say, I believe in you. I have faith in you. All right, that does something to you. You will, if I go up to Pastor Steve and say, Pastor, I believe in you, I have faith in you. All right, for me to believe in him or have faith in him has nothing to do with what he's done. Because faith in him has everything to do about future, not past. Right? So if I have faith in him, it's based off now or futuristic event. But if I have true faith, if I tell Pastor I believe in you, I have faith in you, that will make him feel something. It's called glory. If somebody comes up to you and says, I believe in you, I just have faith in you. When you truly believe in something, you're not looking for anything in return. Right? You know, most of the time we go to God with a shopping list. God, I need you for this. God, it's not what God's glory is. You feel glory when somebody believes in you. Makes you feel good. Somebody comes up to you and says, I believe in you. I have faith in you. You'll feel glory. That's not pride. Glory's not wrong. You feel glory. If your children come up to you and say, Dad, I believe in you. I trust you. All of a sudden, something will rise up in you. It feels good. It's not pride. It's not arrogance. It's not anything. It's called glory. You're not looking for anything in return. Now catch me here. What is glory? Glory is unadulterated love. That's what glory is. Glory is pure love. To trust in someone, not expecting anything in return, is pure love. So if your child comes up to you and say, Dad, I believe in you, I trust you. Well, it makes you feel something. You feel glory. Your children just glorified you. When we go to God the Father, say, God, I believe in you. I trust you. What does God feel? God feels glory. God just got glorified. The question is, how much glory would God have if you don't give it to him? Now, for sure, God can run off of somebody else's glory. But when God comes in his glory, it's because you have glorified him. So how much glory does God have if God's people don't glorify him? Why are there angels sitting around heaven? Why are they worshiping and praising God? They're glorifying God. What does that mean? That means they're loving God unconditionally. You see, God loves you unconditionally. That glorifies you. When God loves you unconditionally, Christ in you, the hope of glory, just came forth. It just came forth. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God glorified you. God believes in you and has faith in you. And it glorifies you. That's not a bad feeling. It's a good feeling. And it makes you feel good. Well, when all of God's people comes together and we say, God, we believe you and we trust you, God feels good. We just glorified him. So God says, Moses, I'm going to send my glory to the earth. So God sends his glory to the earth. Turn with me right quickly to Luke. If you got your Bibles, turn to Luke. I want you to look at it in Luke chapter. Just turn to Luke chapter 2 right quickly. In Luke chapter 2, you know the story. In verse 1, and it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was the first made. And all, verse 3, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now look at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to how many people? To all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That was their sign. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Now, my question to you there in verse 14, who extended, who gave the glory to God? It was the heavenly host. The heavenly host were the ones who issued glory to God. So when you receive Christ as your Savior, God glorified you. It's called Christ in you. Christ is the glory. Christ is the promise that God made to Moses. He was going to send His glory to the earth. And so here we see that there was a heavenly multitude given glory to God because He has sent His Son. He has sent His Son, Jesus. He has been glorified. The Apostle Paul comes on the scene in Colossians 30 years later and says, hey, I got this secret. It's this secret about the glory of God. And this glory that God has a hope. And that hope is that you'll understand this hope that is Christ in you is the hope of glory. What's the battle that's in us that keeps us from glorifying God? It's because man wants the glory. You see, you can't glorify yourself. You're always glorified by another. We give glory to each other. We give glory to God. God gives glory to you through His Son. When we try to glorify ourselves, it's called pride. It's called arrogance, right? But there is a key component in glorifying God. There's one thing to ask God of a favor, and there's another one to love God, not looking for anything in return. It's not you thank God when He's done things for you. But you glorify God when you love Him just the same. Can you imagine when a group of God's people get together and we glorify Him? Not looking for what He can do, but we're saying, Father, we have faith in You and we just love You. Then God just feels good. Now, can you imagine if we truly glorify God, and God's glorified in our presence, what could happen? Anything could happen because God has truly been glorified. Do you truly love that you own? Do you truly love that can do something for you? There's a difference in truly trusting God and glorifying God for who He is. The very fact you're sitting here is proof that He loves you already. The very fact we're here is proof that He already loves us. So then He sent His Son. His Son's within us. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Colossians to this group of believers to give them revelation of a mystery, which was Christ in you. And he said, now this outpouring of this glory, here's the point. We are capable, this group of people, we are at the final days, and I think even probably hours, of the fullness of the Gentiles. It's at this time that this greatest outpouring of His glory is made possible. Because the greater outpouring is right before His coming. Are you ready for it? The question is, are you ready to be part of that glory? What is the fight that's within us that says, okay, we have to leave the argument of, okay, God, You convince me You're real if You can. We have to leave that argument. God, convince me You're real if You can. To God, how can I glorify You in this moment? How can I glorify You in this moment? The way we glorify God is we say, God, we believe in you. We just believe in you. We trust you, God. And that just shoots cold shivers up God's back. Just makes him shake all over. And then it says, his reflection comes to the earth. Can you imagine God taking glory, us giving him glory? You see, everything God does, he magnifies. So when God shoots his glory back to us, when Moses was on the mountain, made his whole face shine. He just shone all over. He came down off the mountain and had to have a veil over his face because he was around the reflective glory. So the only glory we can give God is with God, we love you and we trust you. Makes God feel good, and he shines his glory. It's going to bring joy to the world, he says. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. There's a revelation yet to be experienced by the church of Jesus Christ of the fullness of the glory of God. And what we're looking for, I think, at this church and a lot of other churches is for God's glory to be magnified within the moment. For God's glory, do I know what God's going to do? I have no idea. The only thing I can say is, are you ready for it? I can ask you the question, are you ready? What if the fullness of the Gentiles, what if that day started in the morning at 6 o'clock? My question is, are you ready? Are you ready? You can say, but Alan, I'm ready for the fullness of the glory. Well, tomorrow at 6, it's over. Tribulation begins. Holy Spirit's pulled out. It's done. There'll be another one. There'll be another move when he comes. But we are preparing his way of the glory of the Lord. I think many people are going to find themselves still trying to be convinced that God's real. Let me give you some information. If you had to be convinced that God was real, God would not have to issue faith for salvation. You're never convinced that God is real. Because it then is in the natural experience. This is a spiritual experience. You have to exercise faith. Faith is not being convinced. Faith is trusting. There's a difference. The glory comes in the faith because you believe in God. It's that glory. The Apostle Paul says this. He goes on to say it. Let's look at it also, Luke here in verse 13. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go. Now you got to understand, the shepherds saw this heavenly host praising God, sending glory to God. Why did they do that? Because they just saw Jesus. They just saw the Son Jesus. They just saw the glory that God sent to the earth. So how do you know that you can issue glory to God? It's because you have received and seen the Son. His name is Jesus. When I ask you, are you ready? The main thing I mean by that is, have you received Jesus Christ into your heart? Have you received, have you asked Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory? Have you asked this hope to come into your life, into your heart? That's how you get ready. If you've done that, you've gotten ready. The only thing that's left is for us to understand how God is glorified, how this glory has been sent to the earth, and it comes back through us, through his people. It's called the revelation of the mystery, which is Christ in you, this hope of glory. And as this glory is released in this end time, as we are at the fullness of the Gentile move, I would love on this side of heaven to be able to say, do you remember 456 years ago when we were down there in Taylorsville? Hey, do you remember that? Abraham, let me tell you, we've seen some stuff you ain't seen. Come over here a minute. Do you remember that? When all of a sudden we truly gave God glory, like y'all were doing up here, we did it down there. And all of a sudden the Shekinah glory appeared. And God does all kinds of stuff. You don't have to do anything. Just glorify God and glorify God and say, God, we just trust you and we just love you. Just have your way. Just do whatever you think, God. Just have your way. And I just would love to be in heaven and be able to remember a day that we tapped on into it here on the earth. And we could truly say, as Jesus said, you know, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't want to bring the world into the church. I want to bring the heaven into the world and let it be done here. I got a feeling that we are already equipped and capable. It's just being in touch with the truth of this book and the truth of our contribution. And it's just very simple. Christ in you. We're going to trust God, and it makes God shiver, makes him feel good. Because we're going to truly give him the glory. Not for what he's done, but because of who he is. Amen. I'm done. Nothing else I can say to that. Except let's come in here in just a little bit. I'm giving you 5 minutes extra. Let's come in here in 20 minutes. And I'm asking you, let's truly, not that we haven't been, but let's try with a pure sense of loving God and truly giving him all glory and all praise just because he's God. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you of the revelation of the mystery, which is Christ in us. Dear God, you have equipped us now, made it possible that your glory can come to the earth through your people. Now, dear God, we have no idea if you want to do anything or not, but we do want to glorify you this day and tell you we trust you with every fiber of our being. We love you. And we trust you. If you think anybody here needs anything here today, Lord, we're trusting you to give it. If we just need to be here today and just trust you and love on you and glorify you real good, it's our prayer, oh God, that they'll think that this church house is on fire from the light that of the glory we're going to give you this day. So, Lord, thank you for creating us and making us. Now, Lord God, I do pray that you have created us to have enough sense and the ability and the compassion and the passion to be able to relate to you that we love you. Let us love you, looking for nothing in return, except we just think you're neat and you're great. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 15, 20 minutes back in here.